Hey, welcome back to the Victory Podcast. I'm Brady.
I'm Felix.
Felix's, is this your first time on the Victory Podcast, like officially?
So officially, this is my very first time on the Victory Podcast, yes.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm usually behind the scenes on most of them, but.
So I asked Felix to come on because last week we had on Jess and we kind of got to know him. And I said on Sunday morning that I would do a part two of reminders, but do it through a podcast. So that's what this is going to be about. I'm going to give some other points about reminders, have Felix say some fizz, and some key points to have you guys have reminders. But just like always when we do these, I have this here, but it's just my notes from Sunday. But we don't really have notes on what we're going to talk about. Like, nope. Me and Felix have not said, hey, this is where we're going to begin, this is where we're going to end, because to me, that's the best podcast.
Yeah, and which is crazy because, like, my personality, I need to know, like, I feel like I'm close to Pastor Jody in that situation where I'm like, I need a lot, a layout. But I'm in a season of branching out and growing myself. So hopefully this is not a complete flop.
That's
which,
right.
I don't think it will be.
So Felix was not here this past Sunday. He was on vacation. How was your vacation with your wife?
Oh, it was glorious. Glorious. Texas Hill Country is a God kissed that place right there. And like it was very beautiful. Everything's cheap besides the food, but it's just a lot of nature, so that makes everything cheap. So it was
fun. So Sunday I preached on reminders. And the first one was live simple. Second one was the word is vital. And the third is be the light.
Be the light.
After John 1 about the light shines. I mean, honestly, I could have preached a whole message about light.
Mm-hmm.
How the scripture says in John 1, 5 or 1:4, Jesus is the light. Basically, the light came into the world and the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. I think that it's like so powerful statement. And I even this week have to remind myself that because you turn on CNN, you turn on Fox News, you turn on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you just see how dark the world is getting.
Very dark. And it's so easy. What's crazy is so easy to fall into that dark like mindset or dark way of talking, like, because I feel like it's so easy for our flesh to be attracted to negativity.
Right.
Like, imagine how easy it is to say something negative about something rather than saying something positive, you know? So.
Right. Have you ever seen those? Again, I've always wanted to do it, like, my own experiment.
Yeah.
So I remember I was at a conference and I was filming this conference and the speaker was talking about there was this scientist who did an experiment with some plants.
Yeah.
So you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I know that.
So
yeah.
For one plant, talked very negative to it, like, you will never grow. You are disgusting. You smell bad.
Yeah.
And the other plant, you're so beautiful. You give me life and just talk. And then watered it the same, fed it the same, but the plant that you spoke negative to actually died, and the plant you spoke positive to. Again, I think I know that's true, but I want to do it myself.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too, because I've also heard it told, that same experiment where they took another one and put it like in the cabinet and just neglected it.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't grow either. So it's just like, I was real curious about that too.
Maybe we should do that experiment.
We can do it. Make it like a Kidmo thing or something.
Yeah, we can do that in Kidmo. And because I the reason why I believe it works is because the word works.
Oh yeah.
And the word talks about, you know, speak. I mean, there's a verse that says speak positive. But
yeah. There's power in our words. Though.
Power in our words. And so we really believe that. So that's another reminder for us is power of our words, especially being parents. And I know as a youth pastor, and how important it is to speak life to these kids.
And just how, because I remember things that was said to me as a young kid that still like have an effect on the way I do things, the way, you know, I live life now. And it's like, that's when you think about that, like, I'm at 26 now, and something that was said to me in third grade, like, I remember those things. So
okay, I'm gonna tell a story.
All right.
And I'm gonna get very vulnerable here, and I'm very insecure. So I am insecure about this, and here's why. So I've always been insecure about my head.
Okay.
And I used to pray that I would never go bald. I know, man, get your laughs out right now. But I used to pray that I would never go bald. And it's because when I was in sixth grade, going into sixth grade or going in seventh grade, I had to miss the first week of school because our national finals in Colorado for rodeo was that first week of school.
Yeah.
And it was going into sixth grade. So I missed the first week of sixth grade going to Lewis. Well, I show up and I have my friends while I'm walking in the hallway, and this girl, a very popular girl who was 1 year older than me, she knew my sister. But she didn't really know me, and so she turned around, and back in the day, we used to have big, like, bowl cuts. Like, we had very thick hair.
Yeah.
All right, this is, like, 94, 95, somewhere around there.
My birth year, 94.
Wow, that makes me feel really old. So, sixth grade, insecure, missed the first week of school. Everybody's kind of got their clicks and going, and here I am new, don't know really where I'm going, trying to find my way. And she turns around, and she said, "Oh, my God. You got a cone head."
Oh, man.
Like, for real. And if you look, but the top of my head right here, and then it kind of goes down. And I was like, "No, I don't." But like, still to this day, when I look in the mirror, I see what she said about me.
Yeah.
And that was in sixth grade. And it's still, I still remember the way I felt. I remember my face turning red. I remember the kid next to me going, "You do."
Oh, that's,
And that just that word picture right there sowed some insecurity in my life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, that's, so, that's words are powerful.
Oh, they're very powerful. I know for a fact, like, I'm actually in a season of life right now. I don't want you guys to think I'm wearing a hat because I'm being hip and relevant. No, Felix is actually needing to commit to just going bald because I am very, very much so going bald. And my poor wife, I this whole quarantine season life, like, she has become a ton of things, and one of those things is a barber. And so she has become my barber, and it's just gotten to the point where it's like, it's time to. But I'm the same way. I'm super insecure about the shape of my head. And she's always like, "You got a nice shaped head." And I'm like, "Yeah, but when you bald, like, I don't know." So So I'm about to have to commit to that.
Just commit, man.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
That's why I'm growing a beard, so I can make sure that I have something else for other people to look at, you know.
See, and I can't shave my beard. I was talking to a client yesterday, and I have to go do some video work and where I may have to shave my beard for a mask. And I told that to my wife last night. I told that to Kayla, and she's like, "No, don't shave." It's like, it's the glory of the Lord.
Yeah, I'm like just now starting to get my mustache in, so I'm like super pumped about, like, it's actual hair now, and it's not the little, I had like little peach fuzz for 20 years or something like that.
now you're getting it.
Yeah, it's actual hair now, so I'm proud of that.
Hey, it's a pastor's anointing at Victory. We need to break that, though, because I would like to have some hair back. Like, I used to love styling my hair.
But I think there's power in that baldness, too, because you remember, I think it's 2 Kings. Elisha, bro. So
yeah.
There's some power in baldness.
There's power there. Hey, when the power and the anointing is on you, it just burns your hair off.
Oh, yeah.
It's the tongues of fire.
Yeah.
You can't have fire on your head with hair.
That's what I'm saying. Look at
dude, we just created a new doctrine right there.
Yeah.
Theology 101. Just joking. Please don't make that theology.
Yeah. I was about to bring up when Michael Jackson got his hair
burned. don't do that. That was the Pepsi commercial. Yeah. This is brought to you by Pepsi. So there's some, that's a reminder that we need to live by, is power of our words, about going bald, but power of our words and how words do make that. And so the fourth one I have is this, my fourth reminder. So my 3 points on Sunday, my fourth one was this: I'm dead but alive.
Hmm.
I believe the message of death is not preached enough in churches.
Yeah.
Like, because most people get saved. And again, I'm very thankful for the church here and the church I grew up in here, which was, it wasn't come to Jesus because he'll make your life better.
Right.
It was, no, he died on the cross. And I remember that one of the first scriptures that Pastor Rick taught me as a freshman in high school was Galatians 2:20.
Mm-hmm.
"I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me."
Yeah.
And I believe that even in Luke 6, I mentioned it Sunday morning, he said, "If anyone wants to come after me, he first must deny himself," which is die to yourself, pick up the cross, which is a death sentence, and follow me.
Yeah. That's so real.
It is.
That's so real to just think about those things that that my flesh, I guess, is enticed to. Right. I'm now dead to those things once I made that decision that I'm alive in Christ, once I have given my life to Christ. That's part of our code that we do every
right.
Wednesday in the LP is
code like, blue.
We are dead to this world. We're dead to these things, yeah. and we are alive in Christ. So, y'all, that's very, very good reminder.
But again, it's not common. Because yeah. all the world, all social media, like, mm-hmm. I would love to say I'm strong and marketing does not affect me.
Oh, yeah.
But whenever I see something that looks enticing, like, I remember a couple summers ago, I kept seeing, like, we were on vacation and we went to, like Cabela's,
yeah.
Bass Pro, and we started getting in pontoon boats. Dude, I promise you, for the next month,
yeah.
all I did was look at pontoon boats.
Oh, yeah.
I was so engaged in, like, going, no, Brady, die to yourself. Right. Not that having a – if you have a pontoon boat, I'm not saying you don't live dead.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I believe that our flesh is crying for so much
yeah.
that we need to look at it as it's dead, it's buried.
Oh, definitely.
And we're resurrected in Christ. So
that's real.
That's another one. My fifth point was this. This comes from the worship guy in me.
Mm.
Worship is not about you.
Say that again.
I'm going to look right into this camera, and I'm going to zoom it in post. Worship is not about you.
Yeah.
That, again, I think because we dumb worship down to music,
mm-hmm.
that it's, oh, well, I don't like that genre. I don't like that style.
Yeah.
That lead guitar is too hot, but not for a Louisiana man. Yeah. Sorry, that just sang Alabama.
I don't know.
But yeah, worship is not about me.
Yeah. Because I know that's, I mean, we're gonna get into it. It's like, that's probably one of my pet peeves. Like, oh, worship was great, or oh, worship was a little rough. Like, it really wasn't for you or about you. It's very easy to get caught up into that whole worship is for me. And this is something that I've actually recently preached in youth, is that the only gift we can give God is yeah. our worship.
That's right.
So, for us to try to take something that we should be giving to him, and it's, right. it's a lifestyle, like it's our life, like
right.
it's not just singing. Yes, I mean, singing is a part of worship, but it's the way you live, like
right.
the way you treat that person next to you, that's worship,
right.
you know, like, and I think we just completely miss that, and that has to, I feel like that goes along to with the whole dying to yourself, you
right.
know? So,
yeah, worship is not about me. And every time people critique a worship team,
mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand.
Right.
I really do. As a production guy, I understand what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate how that becomes the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I used to do as a youth pastor, I used to tell my youth band, turn around and read the lyrics. Are the lyrics biblical?
Yeah.
And that has been my problem. This is a whole other podcast, but that has been my problem with some of the modern worship songs. Mm-hmm. I'm not against them by any yeah. means, but I miss how songs used to be very relevant to scriptures.
Yes.
Like, I remember as a teenager reading my Bible and reading, and I always say this example. I remember reading Psalms 84. And it was better is one day in your courts than a yeah. thousand days elsewhere. And I remember the next Sunday, Pastor Jody saying, better is one day in your courts.
Yeah.
And I remember the two going together, and mm-hmm. it made me have a revelation about that song.
Yeah.
And so, but what you said, it's a lifestyle. Romans 12 says, present yep. your body as a living sacrifice
yeah.
to God. That is your reasonable act of worship.
Yeah.
Is you being the sacrifice on the mm-hmm. altar. But it's so easy to get twisted. Well, worship is the music.
Yeah. And I mean, and I guess that can be confusing considering the fact that we just call that, I mean, that part of the service
worship time.
Is worship time, praise and worship time or whatever. But it's a lot more than that. And it's about, like you said, taking those words that you are reading, that you are singing,
right.
believing that. I remember when I first started to come to church here, I was loving the music in youth. I was like, man, I don't really, because I came from a gospel church, so
yeah.
it was very different style and type of music. But I remember hearing that song, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yeah.
I think that was Jesus Culture. And like, remember getting into my word and then reading that.
Right.
And I was like, yo. So then like just started making connections with a whole bunch of different songs and just how that's how important the word is and needs to be in our life. Because when you get into the word and then songs start to flow out from that,
right.
you know, just to be in that, like, it's so beautiful how God can just use his word to speak through us, and how that word that we are reading now becomes applicable to our life,
right,
to where now that's we good. Are living a lifestyle of worship. And just to think about that, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That means the Spirit is in me.
Right.
So wherever I'm walking,
yeah,
there's
good.
Freedom, you know, so like, yeah, it's super awesome connection right there.
And so when we say worship is not about you,
yeah,
yes, I think we look too much on the enjoyment or the way that worship makes us feel, and mm-hmm. not, or a lot of people may say, hey, I don't, my life is pretty bad right now.
Yeah.
You know, my son is no longer serving the Lord. My husband passed away, or, you know, my wife left me, or mm-hmm. what I have to worship for. And for that, I always have to say, go back to John 3:16.
Yeah.
I can read John 3:16 and get a revelation of it right now again.
Yeah.
And going, if we understood the redemption act of Christ on the cross.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I don't know how we cannot.
Have
like,
a
if
response.
You understand yeah. sin and the bondage of sin and yeah. what Jesus rescued you from, that is enough for a lifetime to sing his praises.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even just read Genesis. How God created everything, like mm-hmm. let there be light, and then he created the sun after
yeah.
the light. That blows my mind, and going, Lord, you are bigger than I can ever
oh,
imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, out of that, my response is, God, I give you my life.
Yeah.
I lay down my life.
I know, just so I was reading in James today, in James 1, and he actually says that we are his prized possession.
Right.
Like
yeah.
above all the things.
Is that the masterpiece?
No,
Scripture?
that's Ephesians.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. We are God's masterpiece. Yeah.
But this one's like, we are his, it says like, and we are his, out of all creation, we are his prized possession.
Yeah.
All creation, everything he's created, like, so, and it just puts in perspective just like how much God values us.
Right.
And how, like, literally, he loves us so much that he loves us above everything he's ever created.
Right.
And the one thing that we can give him is our life, is our way we live, the way we
It's the one respond. Thing he requires of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
No, that's
Thank
good.
God he doesn't require other things.
Oh, man.
Like, he just requires us just saying,
yeah.
yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he requires of us. So what is another reminder that maybe you live by? And then we'll talk about the importance of reminders.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest reminder I live by, I actually talked about this on the live.
On the LP service?
Yeah, on the LP live. The biggest one I live by is remembering who I'm representing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's because...
That's a good reminder.
That is because, I mean, as... Pastor Felix, you know, at church, and you know, I know who I'm representing because I mean,
right.
kids are running up to me, Pastor Felix, so I understand.
Right.
But like, even when I'm walking in Kroger, you know, like remembering who I am representing, and this is big to me because you never know who you're going to encounter
right.
In the stores, wherever you're at doing your daily errands or whatever. That person, if I allow myself to allow God to help me see opportunities to speak into somebody's life or pray for somebody in that moment or just be generous.
Right.
And it's been people in my life who have helped me remind these different things just by the way they live. That right there is a huge act of worship itself. It's just remembering, like, I am representing something greater than myself.
Right.
I am representing the kingdom of God when I walk out of my house, and even when I'm in my house, like, I am representing the kingdom of God. And if my actions when I'm not at church versus when I'm at Walmart
right.
don't line up, then, you know, am I really
yeah,
representing Christ the way I should be? So it's a huge reminder for me, especially when driving. Y'all know how it is when you're driving and them people be cutting
yeah.
you off just doing dumb stuff, and I'm like
yeah,
and I'm like yeah, that's probably the big, that's where I really have to remember, all right, that person right there that really just made me angry,
Jesus loves them too
and right. he died on the cross just like he died for me.
Yep.
Like they have value, their lives are valuable, so I don't need to do or say what I want to say. And then again, it's just like, you never know, like, who you're going to encounter. Like, say I do something in that moment, and, you know, we run into each other at Target. like, do I mess up my that moment for me to be able to speak into their life? You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's very important for me to, I know that's the biggest reminder for me, is just remember who I'm representing.
Yeah. I always think of the scripture. It's one of my favorite ones. You are Christ, you are God's ambassador here on the earth.
Yeah.
And going, I love, this is something that some people may not know about me. Mm-hmm. I do have a dream of, maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but I will. I ain't scared. I do have a dream and a vision for my life to be in politics.
Ooh.
And I know a lot of people don't know that about me, but I love studying political history. I love understanding that. So I've always been very interested in politics, ambassadors, being an ambassador to another country, and like the honor that that would be if the president of the United States sent you to represent him and our country in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And then getting to hang out with Bob Goff, who is the ambassador from Uganda to the U.S., but he's an American citizen, and just picking his brain about that. I am fascinated with representation like that and going, I'm not just speaking for myself, but I'm speaking for this entire country.
Right.
And knowing the weight of that, going, okay, I can't just, even though I have diplomatic immunity, I can't just drive crazy because I'm representing the U.S. I can't, you know, cuss somebody out, even though I don't cuss. I can't cuss somebody out because they cut me off in traffic because they may think, well, that's right, Americans do this.
Yeah.
And so what is the one thing that people say about Christians is we're judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you for a fact, Felix is not judgmental.
Nope.
I can tell you for a fact, he's not. I've been living life with this guy for a long time. He's not judgmental. To say that Christians are judgmental, that's because you ran into an ambassador of Christians who was not acting like an ambassador of heaven.
Yeah.
So I'm not just an ambassador for my church or for other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I am representing the God of the universe here on the earth.
Yeah.
And some people may never step foot in a church, but they see you.
Yeah.
That's why I believe this is a very important reminder.
Yeah, to even go a little bit more into it, is just think about the things that, you know, the word says about who we are. How we just said, like, we are a masterpiece. Like, we are God's very own people. Like, we are a holy priesthood. All these things that are put on us, and now we get to go be, you know, that representation out in the world. And I heard somebody actually say this, about how you said, like, how maybe running into one Christian that is judgmental or whatever. Think about a movie theater. When you go to the movies and you encounter a bad experience or a bad movie, you don't just automatically think like, well, oh man, all movies are just horrible and I will never, you know, that's not the case. We have to, you know, look past those things because, and it's very important for us to remember, man, we are representing something. Like I've said this already, but we are representing something so much greater than ourselves.
Right.
And we get to represent something so much greater. Like, we said yes to the one who loved us first. We yes to something that's so much bigger than who we are. And the fact that we get to go be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Out here on this earth, in this world, in Sulphur, USA. Like, that's... I think we miss the greatness of what that is,
right?
You know, and I don't know. It's just,
and it's easy to quote scriptures like we are His masterpiece. When we're talking about ourselves, but remember the Christian who just cut you off in traffic.
Yeah,
he's still God's masterpiece.
He's also the masterpiece. Yep.
Like we are all God's creation, and that's why I love the neighbor as Christ loved them. Mm-hmm. And like Kayla has a great testimony about me when we first got married, how I wasn't really the kindest person.
Yeah.
And her mom told her, pray that you love Brady the way that Christ loves Brady.
Yeah.
Don't pray that Brady changes. Pray that you see him. And then when she did that, and she prayed over my pillow, she prayed over my bedside whenever I wasn't there, I started changing.
Yeah.
I started becoming more Christ-like as a husband. Not because she told me how horrible I was. It's because she prayed that in me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know she was doing this till like 3 years later.
Yeah.
And it shocked me. I was kind of offended. I'm like, you should have told me. She's like, what would you have done? I'm like, oh, defense mechanisms would have came up and judgmental and pointing fingers. And so the way that she did that taught me something about prayer.
Yeah.
And it taught me something about quoting the word and seeing people the way that Christ sees them.
Yeah. And I know marriage does something to you. And that's one of the things that I've been praying over myself. Like, Lord, help me love my wife the way that Christ loves the church.
Right.
You know, that's a big thing for me to pray, just because I've never in my like actual home life have I seen that.
Right.
You know, because I grew up, you know, without, I just had a single mom. And so to see a working marriage, that was a big thing for me to pray. And I just want to make sure that I am representing Christ well in my own house.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Even with my wife, you know. So
that's good.
So that's real big.
So the point of the reminders, again, to go back, is Joshua 1:8. Do not let the book of the law, this book of instruction, depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, observing to do what it says. Then all the things you do will be prosperous and successful. That's where the whole idea of reminders came from in these messages. And so I believe it's important for us to live by reminders.
Yes.
Because the world is coming at us, schedules come at us, and deadlines come at us, and it's so easy to get caught up like just doing life that you actually don't live life.
Yeah.
And I always said, I used to say this a lot, but then I kind of quit saying it for a while, but I loved going to cemeteries as a teenager. Now, I did lose one of my best friends, and so I used to always go to his graveside. But then something happened. I was at the gravesite, a graveyard. This was probably my sophomore year in college, and I went to the graveyard. I know this sounds weird that I used to go to the graveyard, but I used to honestly just walk and pray. But I felt the Lord say, "Look around, and what do you see?"
Yeah.
And I was like, I see memories, I see this. And I felt like the Lord says, there's nothing like a cemetery that will show you unmet potential. And I got this whole revelation from the Lord saying, how many people have these dreams as a 21-year-old, 24-year-old? And I had lots of dreams as a 20-year-old. And saying, if you don't make some steps towards it, you're going to have unmet potential.
Wow.
Like, there's potential in your life to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. But if you don't focus on that, you're not going to do anything. So I started taking these as daily reminders to remind myself to grow by one. Like, right now I'm getting a leadership lesson together about growing 1% every day.
Yeah.
And if you can improve by 1% every day, and I'm not talking about improve just as a better person. I'm talking about in the word. I want to improve my word knowledge. I want to know God better each and every day. I want to love my wife better. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better business owner. 1% better each day.
Yeah.
And what would happen?
Yeah. And that's that's why I was, what you said, one of your reminders is how the word is vital.
Right.
That is so true. Just this is the best leadership book you can have right here.
That's right.
You know, and it will show you everything. What it says that the word does is it exposes the things in your life.
Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah, and helps you correct it, you know. So there's power in this word.
Right.
And it's important for us to make sure that we are spending time, carving out time to get into it. And even just praying. I know that's something that I have to pray for myself. Yeah. Lord, stir in me a hunger for your word to where I don't want to put this thing down. You know, I'm constantly wanting to dissect this thing because it has the power to impact your family, your marriage, your all these different things that you are tied to. So the word is very vital, and you're so right on.
There's two things that the Lord has given us to help us with this. Mm-hmm. Post-it notes and index cards.
Yep.
Those are two God-given gifts to us. And I used to drive rodeoing and all that, and I remember a cowboy preacher said the best thing you can do as a rodeo person is to put index cards in your dash.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a Ford, I used to drive a Ford F-350 four-door dually diesel. It was 99, and my parents spoiled me, what can I say? And so I used to write scriptures and reminders, and I used to put them above my speedometer. There's like a little thing that you could slip them in on the Fords.
Yeah.
And I used to drive everywhere, and I would read these scriptures, and I would change them out weekly. And that's how I began to memorize scriptures. That's how I began to memorize these reminders. And so after preparing this message for last Sunday, I realized I've been doing this my entire life and I never really told anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I did, like when me and Kayla started dating, Colossians 3:16, I remember writing it on an index card and sticking it on her door. So every time, saying that we represent Christ, that's right. The whole thing. And then I used to say these like, everywhere I go, I preach Christ and I use words very, very seldomly.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Like just reminders I used to write on index cards and remind myself. Mm-hmm. And so I believe reminders are huge.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely. The Lord's given you, and here's the thing. There may be somebody listening and says, I just can't remember scripture. That's a lie.
Yep.
Because you can remember the words to that Nicki Minaj song.
Or that
Garth Brooks song.
Go, there you go. That's I think.
Or
that's
that George Strait song, "Amarillo by Morning." We can remember stuff. My 9-year old son, 2 years ago, memorized all the Hamilton lyrics.
Yeah.
The rap Hamilton Broadway show lyrics. So when we went to Broadway to see Hamilton, he was 8 at the time, my 8-year-old and 10-year-old are rapping this.
Yeah.
And I'm going, they can remember this, they can remember their scriptures.
Yeah.
And we used to say that, like, for memory verses.
Yeah.
Like, Brecken had to remember, like, all of Romans 13, or all of 1 Corinthians 13. It's like, it's just so many scriptures. I'm like,
mm-hmm. Sing,
I'm like, Alexander Hamilton, sing me something. And he goes off. I'm like, if you can remember that, you can remember scripture. So do not use that as an excuse. That, the Lord has given you a beautiful thing called a brain. And we can remember scriptures if you put the time into it.
That is so good. That is so good. Mic drop on that one. I know one thing that I also have to continue to remind myself is God is still God.
Amen.
God is still good, and he is still on the throne.
Yeah.
Like, that, like in every situation, in every part of my life, like, I have to remind myself of that. And even in good and bad times, I have to do that. Because, you know, sometimes you look at that bank account, and you're like, ooh.
That's so good, huh?
God is still God. Usually, like, God is still good. He's still on the throne, Lord. But it's very important, especially in those tough times, because we know life gets hard. We know that life can be a struggle, and it's very important for us to remember that, regardless of what life is throwing at us.
That's right.
Like, our God is still God. He's still good. He's still on this throne, and he is still for us, and he's standing with us. So, like, that's
a reminder.
That's a huge reminder that you got to remember. Because. We know that doing life without Christ is not really doing life, you know. So
I would love to see your reminders. I would love if any of these like spoke to you, and maybe you have been trying to like, what's bad is when people, like my wife the other day, she's like, I thought your point was live simple and now you're not living simple. Like, she'll throw it back at me, which is good. And so what is some daily reminders that you have?
Or
what has inspired you from, maybe it's the masterpiece, maybe it's the live simple or whatever it is, be the light.
Yeah.
What is some that you are living by right now? And so wherever you're watching this or listening to this, write in a comment, what is a reminder? And I would love to blow up our Facebook.
Yeah, that I think that'd be awesome. I issue a challenge to you guys to blast your reminders for one big reason is so that, I mean, we can have accountability. So you put this out there and we see, you know, you're doing the opposite. It's accountability. But also, man, I think this would be super awesome for even people who may not even, because, you know, we're a reflection of Christ. So, you know, people see Christ through our lives and how we live. So if we are posting this and making this out in the world, putting this out in the world, think about how many lives we could transfer. Like, because somebody's like, what is this you're posting? And now you have an opportunity to speak into their life about these reminders that you have. Let's blow up our social media with some positivity
and help each other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because there may be a reminder that Felix has that I don't. Like, if I'm really struggling with something, I can read one of those reminders and be like, yes, that's it. I'm gonna remind myself that.
Yeah.
And honestly, what this will do is get you in your word.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, having opinions and quotes and all that from every book you read is good, but it will never replace the word.
Yes.
Because the word works if you work the word.
Yeah.
You know, because again, John 1:1, the word was there in the beginning. Everything was created through him and nothing was created except through him.
Like,
that is powerful. So we need those words in our life. So that's the challenge. get on there, make some reminders. We may keep this going maybe once a month or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different reminders. I know the Bible's just full of, you know, reminders. Right. There's a ton of times where I know in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrew 13, where they just completely remind everybody about everything that happened in the Old Testament.
Right.
You know, so it's very, reminders are huge, and it's not just us.
Yeah,
doing them but also this is something that was done in the Word. So
yeah, for sure. Awesome.
So that's big.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Victory Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions, again, comment your reminders. You can always email us. You can email me personally at Brady@BradyCannon.com, and I will get back to you if you have any questions. But until next time.
Till next time.
That's it.
See y'all.